أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. صلى على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. So dear brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, Allah has given tawfiq, and tonight is the second night where we get the opportunity to gather in the tent of Aba Abdullah and prepare ourselves to serve the cause, inshallah, for our imam. Brothers and sisters, as you can imagine, knowing that it is the blood of Imam Hussein that brought the mu'mineen and mu'minat here together. And we're here. We could be other places, but we're here. We're gathered. One obviously would want to talk about the things that are most important to the cause, most needed, the things we need to hear in order to ready ourselves for that huge task we have on our shoulders. As our dear sister mentioned, we see ourselves as being responsible for what goes on in the globe. When we hear about what's happening to those Muslims, the Rohingya Muslims, you and I, our hearts burn. And we wonder, what is our responsibility? We want to make sure we do that responsibility. In addition to that, we know the slogans, if you look at the slogans that are on the sides of the podium here, these are the words that we have from our Imam, Hayhat minna dhilla. You and I need to prepare ourselves so under the most extreme circumstances, we're able to stand for our Islamic principles without wavering, without doubting, without being fearful. Imagine, brothers and sisters, if you and I, if it was our responsibility to hold these same majalis in Bahrain right now, how difficult would that be? If we have to, and believe me, brothers and sisters, we're all part of that global resistance. We're all part of the cause. The decisions that you and I make are just as important as the decisions of those brothers and sisters in those more difficult areas of conflict. We're not exempt from that. God's looking at us, our readiness. I'm going to share a verse to let you know how important these discussions are, but later. Right? So our decisions, what we're making, how we feel, the readiness of our hearts, it matters. But let's say we were in Saudi Arabia right now and holding the majalis of Aba Abdullah. How difficult is it for our brothers and sisters over there? And there's no difference between any of us. We're trying to ready ourselves for those tests and trials that are on their way. With that in mind, what we're discussing, brothers and sisters, are promises of God. Promises of God. We already learned what it means to be a mu'min. You and I, we have to be intellectually convinced the Quran is the word of God. We have to be prepared to act on our religious commitments if we want to be mu'mineen. We can't pick and choose when it comes to Islam. But what does God give you and I? What are those gifts that Allah is going to provide us with? What is that divine assistance? Imagine if you and I were there in the time of Musa. How do you face Fir'aun? If you were with Nabi Ibrahim, how would you face Nimrud? What backup do you have? What strength do you have? Your strength, brothers and sisters, are knowing those promises of God are true. So we're here to remind ourselves of these promises before the tests get difficult. To know what it is that God has in store for us if we will take those steps based on iman. Now I promised you a verse of Quran that inshallah helps bring this point home to us. The question we want to ask ourselves, why is it so important for us to remember to tell one another the promises of God, to believe in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why is that so important for us? I want to share a verse of Quran with you. This verse, brothers and sisters, Surah 8, verse number 62. 862. Over there we see how important each one of us are. Each and every one of us. Not that I'm powerless. Not that it doesn't matter. Who cares about my life? No, brothers and sisters. When you came into this majlis, Imam Mahdi was looking at you and counting on you. And he makes dua for you. We have in our hadith, the Imam prays for us. So why are we so important, that verse? When God is giving reassurance to his prophet, what does he say? He says, هو الذي أيدك بنصره وبالمؤمنين. God is the one who gave you assistance, help, nasr, victory. Right? He says he gave you his nasr. He helped you in that way. وبالمؤمنين. And he helped you with the believers. So our belief in the promises of God, that's what's going to make us effective. That's what separates the men from the boys. The men from the boys. Those mu'mineen who believe can do great things, whereas regular people who don't believe God's promises, they either go through life being average, mediocre, or they don't do anything with their lives, or God forbid, even separate from the religion. I want to share a story. It's one of those inspirational stories, brothers and sisters. It teaches us an important lesson, though. Some of us are going through life without exploring our talents. We're not living our fullest. Allah has a lot of great things he wanted to do with us. We're not experiencing that. So what's the story? They said back in the day, before there was transatlantic flight to America, there was a man who wanted to go from Europe and he wanted to travel to America. For this man, he scrounged together, he put as much money together, and he was able to purchase a ticket on one of these ships to cross over to America. Put all of his money together. But he knew he didn't have any more money than that. He knew there would be food on the ship, but he knew he wouldn't be able to afford it. So what he did was he packed his suitcase full of cheese and crackers. He entered the ship. The ship started sailing, and he would see the other passengers. And they would go to the restaurant on the boat and they would be eating the food. They would be enjoying it. He would hear them smacking their lips, enjoying themselves, talking about how wonderful the food was. He could smell that delicious food. But all he could do was eat his cheese and crackers. He had to survive. Finally, one of the passengers came over to him and said, "Brother, why don't you join us in the restaurant?" He was so embarrassed, so ashamed. He said that I would love to join in the restaurant, but with all the money I had, I was just able to buy a ticket to go on the ship, so I just have to eat my cheese and crackers. The guy started laughing. He said, "You don't know, when you bought that ticket, you got a ticket to the restaurant also." The poor guy was denying himself the best because he didn't know what was out there. He already had that there for him. God has wonderful things that he would like to grant us. And brothers and sisters, we have to just believe a little bit. Allah can raise from amongst us extraordinary mu'mini. Extraordinary mu'mini. For instance, what was the secret of Imam Khomeini? How was he able to contribute more than anybody else? When you listen to those who are closest to him, those who've observed and studied history, this is what they had to say about Imam Khomeini. He says, "I have never seen anyone or read about anyone who believed the promises of God as much as Imam Khomeini did." He was so trusting, so confident. God says it's going to happen. God will make it happen for me. And he would witness those miracles because God's promises are true. But now before I begin the good part, where we talk about the promises, you know me, some of you know me at least, we'll do a little bit of tough love first. Tough love. Question: what if I don't believe Allah's promises? What if I don't think good of God? Then what? Okay, you ask, so let me answer the question. This is also a verse of Quran. It's a little bit scary though. Because as I said in the first speech, this is the separation between iman and nifaq. Let's see how scary the verse is. The verse says this. It's from Surah Fath, Surah 48, verse number 6. وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ. And that God might do adhab to the munafiqeen and munafiqat. والمشركين والمشركات. Those who associate partners with Allah, men and women, what is the thing with both of these groups? أَذَّانِينَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السَّوْءِ. Those people who think badly of God. What pushes somebody to nifaq, to kufr, to not getting God's best, to making mistakes? Not thinking God's going to assist me. Not thinking God's going to help me. I want to give you a hadith from the first imam. But first, I need your assistance with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. There is a hadith where our Prophet is giving advice to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now, what he does in this hadith, this is very important for akhlaqi development. Let me give you a little bit of context first. There are times, brothers and sisters, when we're able to recognize what our responsibility is. For instance, I know this is a time for me to give. I know, I can recognize. This person is deserving. This is a good cause. Why don't I give? There's a secret mentioned in the hadith. There are times when I know I'm supposed to be brave. This is not the time for me to hide and turn away. It's time for me to say what's right, what's correct. Why don't I? The imam, this is the hadith. It says, أَنَّ الْجُبْنَ وَالْبُخْلِ وَالْحِرْسِ. Three things the Prophet mentions. One of them is bukhl, being stingy when I should spend. He says, or cowardice, jubn, or greed. He says all of these things are one instinct. They go back to one thing. And that one thing they go back to is thinking badly of God. I know it's time to spend. I know it's time to be brave. How come I can't take that leap of faith, step out, trust? I'm not sure God has my back. I'm not sure. Because I think badly of God, I don't do what my responsibility is. So now, if we can have this wonderful trait and experience God's best, go through life being exceptional, then inshallah, that would be one good thing that we get out of this month of Ramadan. So today we're going to talk about one particular trait. If we want to give a title to tonight's lecture, it would be something like this. What are the keys to leading a victorious life? What are the keys to leading a victorious life? And I want to share some promises, some verses that repeated many, many times in the Quran that can go over. And if we can trust those promises of God, then yes, we can experience those that greatness. By the way, before I begin, brothers and sisters, don't think, because a lot of you are younger. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, there's so many young faces, and that's one of the wonderful things about this program here. Don't think, brothers and sisters, developing your character is something that you do when you're old. Don't think, well, I'll wait, inshallah, when I'm 40, when I'm 45, then inshallah, I'll have a reformed character, and then inshallah, I'll lead a victorious life. No, brothers and sisters, those people who were special, who were chosen, who God selected, if you look at their lives when they're young, you see those noble traits. I want to talk about the trait of bravery, and then after that, talk about those keys to victory. This story is from one of our shuhada. His name is Nabawi. The guy who's telling the story says, we were both in elementary school. We're in elementary school. What was his story? What was he like then, Shaheed? He says that once, myself and another kid, we got in a fight at school. We're in the school, we start fighting. The other kid takes a rock and he throws a rock at me and he hits me in the head. My face is bleeding. I go back to get my dad. And apparently his dad was one of those old school dads. Right? Before, now in the good old, now you can't, you know your dad, don't know, he's not going to come, he's not going to do anything. Back in the day, if your dad got angry, if he saw something wrong had happened, he'd come over there and he'd straighten the kid out. So he said, I came back with my dad and we're looking for that kid. Looking, and I see him. The kid sees me too. The kid starts trying to run. I'm following after him, chasing after him, going to make sure we get him. And my dad is going to tear into this guy. He says, Shaheed Nabawi came forward. In elementary school. He said, excuse me, sir. He said, I want to really apologize. I'm paraphrasing the words. I am the person who hit your son. We were playing. I made a mistake. I hit your son. And he's like, what are you doing? It's not you. That's the kid over there. He said, no, it was me. He said, forgive me, sir. If you need to mete out whatever punishment, then I'm ready to take out the punishment. If you're not going... So the father sees this young guy, somebody in elementary school, saying bravely, look, I made the mistake. Come over and take out whatever punishment needs to be had. Oh, I'll take that. The father said, no, I forgive you. Get out of here. He turns back to Shahid Nabawi. Now, this is before he's balik. So don't say, oh, he's balik. No. Why did you do that? Why were you? You saw how angry my dad was. You saw what he was about to do. Why would you take on this burden when it wasn't even you? Listen to the words of the Shahid. Some people's character develops from when they're very young. He says that the other kid was an orphan. He doesn't have his father's support. If he gets beat up by your dad, psychologically, he's going to be damaged. I can take a beating. I'll take a beating for somebody else. So we don't want to think these things wait. No. We can come to a conclusion about Islam, and we can be exceptional from the time we're young. Inshallah, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, what are those keys? We want to learn principles. We don't only want to hear about the greatness of somebody like Imam Khomeini, may Allah bless his soul. We want to be like these individuals. We want to be effective for the Imam. We want the Imam, when he counts the heads of the individuals who are in this majlis, to say, oh, this person, this is one of my soldiers. He sees this sister, he says, this sister, alhamdulillah, she's made progress, right? What are the keys to leading a victorious life? Number one. One of the promises of God, which is mentioned in the Quran, in many ways, many verses, different surahs, one of the things that God explains to you and I is this. God doesn't put a burden on us that's greater than we can bear. One of the keys to having a victorious life is this. No matter what situation I'm in, I know I'm capable of being victorious. I can do my responsibility. This situation, no matter how bad, is not going to break me. How does God explain that to us in the Quran? So many verses. I'm giving you one. It says, "La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha." Allah never burdens a soul greater than its ability. So that means, brothers and sisters, no matter what my situation, no matter where I am in life, no matter what opposition is up against me, I haven't been given a duty that's greater than my ability. I can come out of this victorious. But a couple of points to keep in mind. Coming out of victorious, I'm not just going to give you a pep talk, brothers and sisters, and just tell you everything's going to be okay. Principles. One of the principles you and I have to keep in mind is the principle of looking to see what my responsibility is. Given my circumstance, what can I do to right my situation, to better my situation, to fix my situation? I can't just sit back, I make dua and just expect divine help. No, Islam does not raise anyone to be lazy. I have to look and see what my duty is. But brothers and sisters, you doing your duty is going to be different based on your situation. I'll give you an example. Let's say there's a sister. This sister is a homemaker. She's a housewife. A noble profession, a housewife. Let's say she doesn't have any external income. Her husband provides. That's his job. Her husband provides. So she doesn't have money in the bank. Right? I'm giving you an example of somebody who doesn't have money in the bank. But I had a dream in my heart. I would like to go to Karbala and I want to go for Arba'in and I want to walk. But I don't have that money. I don't have money in the bank account. I don't have any viable... My husband's even struggling. How would this woman... who wants to go to Karbala, what does she have to do? Just as an example. The same example let's give for a young man. The young man in my example is very wealthy. Very wealthy. Big businessman. For both of these individuals, no matter how their external situation, the rules are the same. Why do I say that? Because brothers and sisters, what you and I, promises of God, what we believe in the Quran is, إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ
Qadir.
God, you can do all things. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is difficult for you. إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So for both of these individuals, they have to make their effort. If the businessman wants to go and go for ziyara, he has a certain effort that he's supposed to do. For that housewife who has no viable means of income, her husband is even struggling, but God put that dream in her heart, it's the same thing. For both of them, they have to do their responsibility. What is it that I can do to make this happen? It might not be much. Actually, brothers and sisters, the more hopeless your situation is from the outside, the easier. You just have to do your part, what you can do. If I want to just sit back, no, God will fix it. All I do is make it dua. No, no, no. You have to do your part. Example from the Quran. Lady Maryam in the Quran. Lady Maryam in the Quran. She is about to give birth to Isa. The pains of labor brought her to a date tree. God wants to give her dates. God is going to make a miracle happen for her. But what does God say to Lady Maryam? Do you just sit back and the wind will blow the dates and they just fall? No. He says, shake the tree. Shake the tree. So for anybody, if you want to lead a victorious life, one of those keys is going to be, am I shaking the tree? Whatever little bit it is. My effort that I can do, because God knows my situation. In my situation, me shaking the tree is doing this little bit. That's all God needs. God's going to make it happen. Otherwise, you know that God is all powerful, right? One more example and we'll move on from this point. One of our shuyukh, his name is Sheikh Mohsen Qiraati. Famous sheikh, he's over in Iran, he's giving so many lectures, lessons on the Quran. He's talking about the power of God. He says that I would go to Hajj. I think he would go every single year. So it's automatic, right? He says, I get on the airplane, go to Hajj. I come down the steps of the airplane. I stumble. I hurt my foot so bad. They have to put me back on the plane and take me back to Iran. If God doesn't want you to make Hajj, you won't make Hajj. It's not like the lesson for all of us. That businessman who's got so much money, he's more powerful. He can make something happen that God doesn't want to make happen. No, he's just as helpless as that woman. Right? This is important for us to keep in mind. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. So for each person, no matter what it is you want to achieve, you can achieve it. You can set your eyes on big dreams. And Allah loves it when you have big dreams. We'll get to that verse, inshallah, later. But effort is that first consideration. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The second consideration, brothers and sisters, is this. How much hope do you have from God? How much divine help do you expect? Do you expect miracles in your life? Do you expect unseen help? If you expect unseen help, then it's going to be very different to those people who don't believe in it. I'll give you an example. Some people, brothers and sisters, are struggling with their past. Why is it I don't believe in the promises of God? Why is it I believe that I've made too many mistakes? Because I look at my past. I see mistakes that I made. I've done wrong things, sins, dhunub. I see dumb errors, opportunities that were blown, relationships that I could have fixed. I look at that past. Let's say, God forbid, I'm dealing with drug addiction. I've tried to come out of it. I'm trying to overcome. I know I'm, right? But I keep trying. I keep slipping, right? So what happens? Slowly I start to give up. I start to tell myself no. I want to explain, brothers and sisters, how hopeful we're supposed to be. With other people, they say you can't unscramble eggs. Right? But God can take your scrambled eggs. He can make a wonderful omelet. You know what the imam tells you? He says the rest of your life is priceless. The rest of your life is priceless. You're not dead yet. It's not too late to make a change. God, if he steps in, he can do all things. I've been dealing with this health issue for so long, years. Doctors have told me it's impossible. There's no way I can come out of it. Maybe you read about this in the New York Times. It was a doctor. Sayyid Hassan Naqawi. It's in the New York Times. Maybe you've seen this. This individual, what happened was, he's on his treadmill. He has a heart attack, cardiac arrest, drops to the ground. There's only a certain period of time that they can help you to recover in. Right? This guy, by the time they're able to get the situation, it's been 5 hours. Once you reach to this area, pretty much you're going to be in a vegetative state. His wife doesn't give up. There's a new medical technique to try. They call it the cooling process. They go over, they get this individual. He goes from being in a coma to now treating his own patients. What's the period of time? 2 weeks. One is to just give up. I can't make it. I can't have... Right? So how hopeful? There's a dua I want to share with brothers and sisters. We're supposed to say this dua every day after Fajr. One line of the dua. How much hope am I supposed to have from God? How much am I supposed to expect him to be able to turn my situation around? Read. Some of you can understand the Arabic language. So listen to this part of the verse, the dua. It says, وَإِن كُنْتُ عِنْدَكَ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ شَقِيًّا. O God! If in the mother book it's written that I'm shaqi, I'm wretched, I'm going to hell, I'm done, I'm toast. How much hope should I have? He says, Faja'alni sa'ida. Oh Allah, you make me successful. You make me one of the lucky ones, one of the four. If it's been written that I'm done, you make me sa'id. Every day somebody reading this story, how much hope is this person going to have? So what the hadith says is this. He says, yesterday is for admonition. Today is opportunity. Tomorrow you don't know who's alive. So all we need to be doing, brothers and sisters, in our situation, is focusing on what our responsibility is. What does God want from me right now? In order for me to turn my situation around, what is it that God needs from me? What am I supposed to do? If I do that little bit, then God's help is there. So instead of being broken, I'll give some examples from Karbala. Who are some of your favorite examples from Karbala? One of them, Zuhair. Zuhair. Hope. These are the nights for us to get what we need from Imam Hussein. Who is Zuhair? Zuhair, you're going to read, inshallah, you'll hear from the Messiah. Zuhair is somebody who's running away from Abu Abdullah. He says, when the Imam, I knew the Imam's traveling in the same area. Deliberately, I tried to avoid the Imam. I don't want to be in the same place as the Imam is. He says, Hussein didn't give up on me. I kept trying to move. Finally, Hussein sends a messenger to me. He says, Abu Abdullah wants to see you. Even then, Zuhair didn't want to. His wife said, Subhanallah. The son of the daughter of the prophet is inviting you. You don't want to go? His wife pushed him. Zin Zuhair became Zuhair. Look at the speeches of Zuhair. The statements of Zuhair. If we were burnt. Another person. Hur. Now, this is really an extreme example. Hur was somebody who went to fight his imam. Not like Zuhair is running away from his imam. I'm the person who stopped my imam and made him stop in Karbala. I'm that person. How much hope should I have? What did Hur do? He had a little bit of respect. Zuhair had a little bit of respect for the mother of Imam Hussein. He shook the tree. Then Imam Hussein saved him. So brothers and sisters, it depends on how much I believe in God. The goodness of God. God loves me. He hasn't given up on me. He will help me. He has power over all things. If I believe those promises, I can do amazing things. Now, I have to share something else with you. Now, brothers and sisters, brace yourselves. It's a little bit of tough love. A little bit of tough love. Brothers and sisters, I am not going to tell you there will be no test. I'm not going to tell you that it's just going to be easy. All you do, have trust in Allah. Do the right things. No, brothers and sisters, definitely you're going to be tested. 100%. Actually, in Surah Mulk, this is what it says. God describes himself. هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم. He's the one who created death and life to test you. That's the whole point, for me to test you. But now, where does that hope fit in? This one I want to explain a little bit properly. No matter what test, brothers and sisters, no matter how difficult or impossible it seems, this is the part where it goes back to that belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how extreme the circumstances, you and I have to believe in the midst of bala. When I separate my actions from what God's doing, I see it's not that I'm doing this to myself. I have to believe the test is actually in my interest. Are you going to be tested? 100%. Will the test be difficult sometimes? 100%. But I have to believe I serve a good God. The test he's given me, which is not me and my own doing, that test is actually for me. Hadith. The guy says that I went in to see Imam Sadiq, salamullahi alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, when I went to see my imam, I see my imam is very ill. He's sick. He says, I was so overwhelmed. Imagine if you went into a room and you were able to see Imam Mahdi. How happy would you be? Imagine if you saw Imam Mahdi and Imam Mahdi was really sick. Let's say he was on the deathbed. How destroyed would you be inside? It's so difficult to take it from a relative, let alone your imam. So he says, when I came into the room and I saw my imam was not well, he said, I started to shed tears. The imam stopped him. The test is always good for the mu'min. What did the imam tell him? He says, yo, this guy's name is Fudayl. He says, for the mu'min, if he wakes up, he or she wakes up, and they own the east and the west, that's good for the mu'min. If the mu'min wakes up, and their limbs have been severed, that's good for the mu'min. This is the line he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَفْعَلُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ إِلَّا مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. God doesn't do anything for the believer except that which is good for the believer. So if we can keep that in mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not harming me, he's not against me, he still loves me, he wants what's good for me, it'll keep me from becoming bitter. Some people, when they're tested, when Allah makes things, I'm doing all the right things, and then Allah tests me, some people get bitter. Instead of being hopeful, I'm bitter now. That stops me from benefiting from Allah the way I should. I heard another story. They said there was this guy, and he went jogging. And when he went jogging, out in the park, then a dog came and the dog bit him. Goes to see the doctor. He's so upset. The doctor checks him. The doctor said, actually, you have rabies. He said, we're going to have to give you a shot, but rabies shots are very painful. The doctor left the room. He went out of the room, and he came back, and he sees the guy is writing on a piece of paper. He said, are you writing your will? You're not going to die. I'm giving you a rabies shot. It's painful. You're not going to die. He said, I'm not writing my will. I made a list of all the people I'm going to bite. So some people are like that. Instead of these difficulties making them closer to God, bitterness. One of the things we have to keep in mind, brothers and sisters, in addition to doing our wajibat, kindness to other people. Sometimes the reason you and I suffer, those people who are true believers, who know their wajibat, who are doing their responsibilities, sometimes the reason we get bala is that we don't observe the rights of other human beings. We're not kind. We're not sweet to people. We say hurtful things. And God looks at all of that. Right? We have things that are called haqqun nas. One of them is haqqullah. One of them is haqqun nas. Believers have to make sure that they are observing all of those things. Now, if we can do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has special help for us. What God teaches us in the Quran is that he is not limited when it comes to helping you achieve your dreams. God is not limited on who he can have help you achieve your dreams. The verse says this. It says, وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. God has the whole heavens and earth at his disposal. He can use them to help you, to provide you with assistance. I want to give you a true story of that divine help. Inshallah, it helps us believe that, okay, that first point, no matter what test I've been given, I can overcome. All I have to do is do my part. I must believe that God is looking out for me. God is on my side. God wants what's best for me. But I want to give you a true story about that help of God. The true story is this. Some of the brothers, they were involved in the battle against Saddam Hussein. And they were part of one of the most difficult operations on an island called Majnoon. The operation itself was so difficult, it was almost impossible, only with the help of Allah, even to be able to get there, even to be able to resist. But I don't want to tell you about that part. I want to tell you about the help of God, the assistance of God. When it says that God controls the heavens and the earth, he can use anybody, even your enemies, to give you assistance. What does that mean? How powerful should I feel? How strong should I feel? How much confidence should I have? Not in myself, but God. The brother says this. One of our jobs, we had to hold a position. We're over there in our bunker. We had to hold a position. He says, and we had to drain that island. There were large rats on the island. Rats. And the rats would come out. So in addition to us fighting on the outside, we had to deal with these rats. He says, what happened was my partner, he was a little taller than I was. So what I would do is at night, once it's time to go to sleep, I'd cover myself from head to toe in my blanket, and those rats would come, but they would walk all over me. They wouldn't do anything to me. But my friend, he would wrap himself in the blanket and his foot would be out. The rest of him's covered, his foot is out. And the rats would see his foot and they liked his foot. They would go over and they would start biting his toes. Rats, imagine that, how terrible. This guy would try to do everything he could to keep these rats from doing this. Nothing worked. He said my friend would get so angry, he would take his machine gun. In the middle of our bunker, he would start spraying bullets into the wall. Like, well, you're not killing the rats? First of all, you're going to kill me? He says, finally, I told the commander about this. I said, we're having this problem. Can't sleep at night. His brother, he's suffering. The rats. He said, oh, I know what to do. I'm going to get you a cat. Cats will take care of the problem. He says that we went and we brought that cat. And then he says, we waited. One of the rats pointed his head out. We told the cat, Ya Ali. The cat went running after that rat to go and destroy the rat. He said that rat made some kind of a sound. All the other rats came out. The cat turns tail. The cat is running for its life. The rats are chasing. And we're all running. We want to see what's going to happen. What are these rats going to do to this cat? So we're running. My friend comes running out. I come running out. He says when that happened, a missile came and landed right on the bunker. It landed right on the bunker. My friend made it because he's out chasing the cat. The bunker, when the missile landed, the bunker exploded. But I was alive. Why? Because I'd moved far enough away from the explosion, it didn't kill me. What's the lesson? God wanted to preserve their life. In order for him to preserve their life, he had to come up with this unique situation. There's a rat. It keeps bothering him until he gets a cat. And then he runs and he moves outside. And then when the missile comes, that's not supposed to take his life, he'll be far enough away from the explosion to survive. So brothers and sisters, back to that hadith of the imam. No matter what situation I'm in right now, that situation is actually good for me. I have a responsibility to fight back. But the situation is not out of God's control. We end with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.